Hey, and welcome to the podcast. Sitting across from me is Jenny Hillebrand. I am Greg Detmer. We are instructional coaches in Western Dubuque. That would be Eastern Iowa. You put us together, got the Instructional Coaching Corner podcast, which you're listening to right now. Jenny, how's it going?
It's going well.
Well, I'm really excited to get this one started. So last time we talked about our Greek words, right?
Yes.
And we said we're going to do an episode on the Greek word the. So I did my research. I'm ready to go.
And we are going to... We're not going to do that, Greg.
But I got all my notes.
Yeah. Nope. You just... Yeah. No.
All right. So we're not talking about that.
If you really want to know that, email Greg and he can he can let you know about the Greek word the.
People are going to be like busting the door down.
I think we have better things to talk about.
What better things could that be?
All right. So last time we talked about Marike. We talked about how having Marike as part of a team. Do you remember what Marike is, Greg?
I do. That sounds like a drink. Like I'm going to have a Marike tonight.
Well, when you... yeah. Okay. I see it. I hear it. Yeah.
Like I'm going to go down to the pub and have a Marike.
Maybe we can make up a drink for it then. Maybe.
Well, it would have to include passion, investment,
love,
care,
creativity. That'd be a really good drink.
But we can't pour those things.
That's right.
And we can metaphorically pour them into what we do, and that's what Marike is.
Greg, you're so good. How long did it take you to think of that?
Rap.
Man. I mean, we could almost end this one right now. Should we just end it?
I've been sitting on that one for 2 weeks, just waiting to use it.
So the idea of Marike and having that as part of a team. So as a team, you have Marike. You have creativity. You have love. You have passion. You have soul into everything that you do. And in a sense, as a team, you're leaving your legacy. You're leaving your mark on something. That it's not about who you are, but it's about what you do to make things great. So we thought it would be really good to kind of go a little bit more into depth just on the whole idea about teamwork, because I think as instructional coaches, we're on an IC team.
That's true.
We talk about our IC team or our IC team family all the time.
Teachers are on a grade level team or a school team.
Absolutely. You have your BLT teams within your building.
And those might include paraprofessionals, maybe the secretary, maybe custodians, maybe lunch ladies. Everyone in school is on a team in some way.
Exactly. And we kind of alluded to this the last time with the last podcast about having a why. You know, we're all a part of these different teams, but at the end of the day, for every one of those teams within a school system, what's our why?
The kids.
It is 100%
the kids. Have to win.
So in John Gordon's book, so the idea of Marike comes from John Gordon's book, The Power of a Positive Team. And this book was actually introduced to me through one of the courses that I'm taking by Dr. Hayes, who's an instructor at UNI. And he recommended this book because I had read other books by John Gordon and I was intrigued and I couldn't put the book down.
So is this for your classwork or this is just bonus?
This was just a bonus.
All right. So
yeah,
let's peek behind the curtain here.
Yeah.
And bring the audience with me. I was like waiting for you to mention that you were back working on your master's because I'm like, people are probably like, oh my God, Jenny's reading everything. And Greg just keeps sitting there saying, and like.
And that.
And now we find out not only do you read your course books, but you also still read books for fun. Jenny.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I feel like a slub now.
Well, my students walk by, so on my door, I have the what I'm reading now, what I'm reading, what I just finished, and then what I'm reading next. And I actually have 4 books under the now category. They're really great books.
I'm sure they are.
2 are coursework and 2 are for...
So you got a good balance.
I do, yes. So back to the idea about teamwork. Greg and I really thought that it would be a nice break to kind of reflect on teamwork and giving you some ideas on kind of how we reflect on our team as our instructional coaching team. But also we both work in different elementary buildings and even just reflecting on the teams that we have within our 2 elementaries. Greg, give me a thought. What's your thought about teamwork?
So these aren't my thoughts, but right. We're going to use the thoughts from John Gordon's book that you referenced. And the first one is, it's all about teamwork. And sometimes you are the star and sometimes you help the star.
So, Greg, can I stop you just for a second there?
Yes.
I feel like our Instructional Coaching Corner podcast is definitely a team. I feel like you are the star because, here's, just hear me out, because you do all the edits. I come to this wonderful Taj Mahal of an office where you have everything set up and ready to go. You have ideas. I mean, you're the brains behind this deal. So I just help the star.
Well, thank you, Jenny.
I just kind of come along for the ride.
This is a very collaborative setup, actually.
It is.
When I think of this statement, so it's all about teamwork. Sometimes you are the star and sometimes you help the star. As an instructional coach, and this might sound weird, but like one of the greatest things I enjoy about this role is not being the star. So I love partnering with a teacher and doing something great. Like maybe we're launching this new way of doing something.
Right.
And then I start hearing like all the other people talking about what this person's doing. Maybe it's the principal. Maybe it's the paras. Maybe it's the other teachers. Like seeing and noticing, man, they're doing this in this room and this is really cool. And me knowing that like I had a big role in that. But at the same time, no one needs to know that.
Right.
Because that person's going to be the star. I'm in a support role here. It's extremely satisfying when you can step back and just see all the happenings going on and just keep pointing all the attention to that person. It's like, yes, they are doing a wonderful job. They are crushing it.
I agree with you 100%. That's probably one of my favorite parts of this role. And part of the reason is because sometimes they, like, when you're working with people, sometimes it's they surprise themselves with what they've done. And stepping back, sometimes they want to give you that credit. Sometimes they want to say, well, you were a big part of this, but I didn't have the ideas. I just sat here and was the support. You were the one that did the implementation and you were the one that made the difference for the school or for the students or whatever it was. It is so fun to see the excitement on teachers' faces or whoever's faces when they've made that huge jump or that they've made that accomplishment that you're right. You had the front seat view watching it happen, but to be able to take the back seat view of seeing that person succeed is amazing.
Yeah, kind of just like even being like having a little fun with it when someone's like, have you seen so-and-so's this? And it's like, no, I've heard a lot of good stuff about them.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun. Another thing I think about there is too, like sometimes we do get to be the star and that's okay. I think a lot of times within a team setting, if you can find your strength on that team, like can I work from an area of strength? So I think of our social committee at the school I'm in. I feel like we're a pretty effective team and we have people in the right roles. So when it comes to like planning out a movie day, I get to like crunch all the numbers and make Excel sheets to figure out who's going where. Then in February, someone's going to put chocolate in people's mailboxes just as a quick, hey, thanks for being you. That person, they don't want to be like the person out in front leading anything. They just want to say like, here's how I want to help.
Right.
And here's my strength. Like I can organize this. I can put these in baggies. I will take care of this.
I can fry a turkey.
That's right.
I mean,
and then sometimes there are times like we do a staff bowling event where it's like you kind of get to be front and center stage where it's like you're the one leading the event and you're the one that's seen as the leader of the team. But at the same time, like if that's your strength area, it's not really all about me. It's more like I've been gifted with these abilities. So now I can use them to invest in the team.
Yeah. Makes for such a powerful team. I love it. So one of my thoughts about teamwork is that and again, this comes from John Gordon. He says three things you control every day are your attitude, your effort, and your actions to be a great teammate. And I think that this is so true that really we have to control our own actions. We are only in control of ourselves. And when we approach the various teams that we're on, whether it be our grade level teams or our instructional coaching team, our BLT team, whatever it is, if we go in, if we're having a bad day and we're going in with a bad attitude, or if I go in someday thinking that I'm not feeling as motivated as what I normally am, what perception am I giving that team? I'm telling them that I don't really feel like being a part of this team today. I'm not feeling it. You know, we have to show up every day with a positive attitude, putting forth that effort to make sure that they know that we want to be there. And I think about that often. People's perception is their reality. And when I'm a part of a team, I don't want to ever enter a team meeting or interaction with those people leaving with the perception that I don't want to be there or I'm not enjoying what I'm doing. Because if I start to feel like that, then maybe it's time for me to not be on that team. And sometimes that's okay. Yeah. Sometimes it's okay to say, you know what? My heart's not here right now. I need to find something else. And then, you know, then you can make that change. But to be a great teammate, you have to have the positive attitude. You have to put in the effort. And you have to understand that your actions and what you say and do matter. And I think that's really important.
So attitude is huge, Jenny. If you remember back to the episode we did with our IC friends, I had mentioned something along the lines of like my attitude toward a lot of the day-to-day things I had been doing with my kids had been like they became burdens for me. And since then, I've really have tried really hard to switch that attitude to like, this is an opportunity for me to invest. So my one son, he really struggles going to school. And some days he'll refuse to get out of the car and I want to blow up. And sometimes I blow up and yell and threaten I'm going to take this, and this away. And then other days, what I've been trying to do is like seeing this as an opportunity. It's like I get to be the one to take him in, crying on my arm, but I get to be the one to hand him over and say, it's going to be okay, buddy. I'm going to see you in a little bit. And to give him that assurance as opposed to just go, get out of the car, it's time to go. And it's just an attitude change. So when the Mr. Rogers movie came out, I was like all about it. And I did a little
You've seen the movie,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I'm
not going to spoil it, but it led to me doing a bunch of research into the real Mr. Rogers. Like, is this guy really like Tom Hanks portrays him? And turns out, more so than not, that dude, like every interaction he had, his attitude was that of, what opportunity do I have to invest in someone else's life here? And like, he took these things that we might consider burdens or things we don't want to do as moments to have influence.
Yeah.
So I think I told you, if you remember watching, were you old enough to watch Mr. You were probably a little too old. I was right in the right age to watch Mr. Rogers. But if you remember
The only thing I ever remember about Mr. Rogers, honestly, if I'm being completely honest, the vest coming on and off.
Oh, he knew.
And the only other thing is the train.
Yeah.
And the lady that talked like this. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Exactly what you're talking about. But I was an avid watcher. I watched it every day.
Okay.
And every day, Mr. Rogers would go to the fish tank and he would, it seemed kind of weird now that you know it, but he would say, I'm feeding the fish, as he was like dropping fish food in there. It's like, why is he saying this? In my research, I found out that he was saying that because he had a listener of the show, who a little girl who was blind, and she knew he had fish. And she sent him a letter and said, don't forget to feed the fish. And he could have seen this as like, well, I feed the fish. Like, that's your problem. Like,
right.
We do the show how it is. But his attitude was such where it's like, what influence can I have here? And from that point on, instead of just feeding the fish, he would say, I'm now feeding the fish, as he dropped those gold fish flakes in there to feed his fish.
And what a difference it made for that.
Exactly. So like, attitude is so huge because it can make the mundane become the most important thing in our life. And when that happens, it's very powerful.
Absolutely. I think about a lot of our conversations and our work with trauma-informed schools. And we talk a lot at Dyersville about having trauma lenses. And as we are working with students or as we're approaching different situations, making sure that we have those trauma lenses on. And again, it goes with attitude, that sometimes when students might be acting out or doing whatever, we think it's because they're lazy. We think it's because they want attention. We think it's because they're being defiant. We make a ton of excuses. Our attitude is that there's something wrong with them, that they need to change something. And I think reflecting and looking through a trauma lens and thinking, okay, what can I do different to approach this child, to help this child through whatever, working through whatever it is that they need help working through? I think that, along with your attitude, and that goes along with your actions too.
You Fred Roger it.
And it goes along with what our district constantly says to us. What you say and what you do matters, and it matters every single day. And so being able to control your attitude and your effort and your actions is part, is being able to control all of those is huge. And maybe even a little Mr. Rogerish. And that's a great person to live like.
I used to make fun of Mr. Rogers in my teen years, but now I respect that man. Jenny, I have another thought here coming from this 11 list. I want to share another one. So it is, great team members hold each other accountable to the high standards and excellence their culture expects and demands. A long time ago, I heard it said that you can't show agape love without conflict. That if we truly care about our team, our team members, and the mission, we have to be willing to have healthy conflict. So yeah. If I'm on a team and I'm acting in a way that's not in the best interest of the team, someone needs to say something.
Right.
I would expect them to do that. And I know, like, this has always been a great conversation. Like, my principal and I have had where it's like, we're okay having these conversations where it's like, I need you to do this, or I need you to approach it this way, or see it this way, or put this lens on. And it's not like I'm offended by that. It's more like, I wasn't aware of that. Thanks for pointing it out.
And I think when you have those disagreements, if you don't have that trust and that love, that's where you leave those teams and you're feeling hurt, or you feel like your voice isn't heard. But when you have a good, solid, strong team, yeah, those fights only make you stronger, and it shows that you have that trust and that love to have those difficult conversations. I think when you are able to realize that having a difficult conversation, I mean, having difficult conversations can be so scary, because you don't know how the person's going to react. You don't know what the repercussions could be. And when I read this one, Greg, too, I thought about having difficult conversations with staff members. And at Dyersville, we're really trying to say that it's okay to have those difficult conversations, because having those makes us stronger. When something isn't going well, or if we have to go have a difficult conversation because of an interaction that, if we see an interaction between an adult and a student, or two adults, or maybe something that you heard walking through the teacher's lounge someday, if you let those conversations go, or if you let those interactions go and you don't address them, part of that becomes your norm. That becomes an okay thing within your community. And eventually that becomes toxic. So having those difficult conversations, holding everybody to those high standards is so important, because at the end of the day, when you have those difficult conversations, everybody walks away being able to reflect, you know what, maybe that person was right, or they were right to a certain extent, and I need to reflect on what I need to do different. And that's really powerful, to put that back on everybody within a community or within your team, not just expecting to go to your principal and say, hey, this happened, what are you going to do about it? You know, we need to be accountable for our actions. Yep. And for conversations that we need to have.
Kind of goes back to our podcast and holding each other able.
Right.
And if you think it's nerve-wracking or scary holding each other accountable, like in the moment, it's going to just get worse as time goes on.
Yeah. You know, Greg, I feel like I've been needing to have a difficult conversation with you.
Let's do it. I have my
list,
too.
For a long time.
I have the whole fierce conversation playbook planned out.
Oh, God. This is going to backfire on me. Anybody who's listening right now is thinking that we're going to start, like, throwing punches or something. No, I'm just kidding. I was going to give you a hard time and say how much it hurts my feelings every time you talk about me being born in the 70s or my age, you know. I
mean, That's just okay. Me joking around, though.
Just teasing, just giving you a hard time. But it is good to hold each other accountable. And Greg, I am really glad that I have you to hold me accountable as an instructional coach. So one of the final thoughts for good teamwork that comes from John Gordon is the idea that you and your team will face a fork in the road every day. You can settle for average and you can choose the path of mediocrity, or you can take the road less traveled and chase greatness. And I think that at Western Dubuque schools in the past, you know, few years, we have really said average and being mediocre is not okay.
It's not good enough.
We have been traveling those roads of being uncomfortable, the road of maybe having more difficult conversations. And in the end, we are seeing great success. We are chasing that greatness and we are starting to see that pay off. And that is so exciting and it's so rewarding to be a part of this great team that we have at Western Dubuque as the district, but also working in our individual buildings. And I think you probably agree with me on that one.
So I'm over here chuckling because the whole time you were talking, I couldn't help but think of the Green Day song as you were reading.
You're going to sing, aren't you?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sing it, Greg.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. I hope you have the time of your life. You got to get that nasally voice for them. But yeah, and as you talk about like our district and making these choices, a lot of times it's opposite of what you would think. So I know we can get hung up on like we made a choice and like we talk about greatness and legacy and all of that. But sometimes that is falling on your face and getting back up and trying again. It's not always like this idea of, oh, we have this polished product right away.
Right.
You know, I know we talked about falling up as a as an option where it's like, that's our third option. Like you don't just succeed or fail. It's usually you fail, figure it out, try something new, and just keep repeating that process.
Yeah. I think about what we say on morning announcements, and I think a lot of people do this, but every day before we are finished with morning announcements, we say to all of the students, all of the staff, all of the paras, the custodians, the secretaries, we say, make it a great day or not, the choice is yours. Make it a great team, the choice is yours. Be a part of something amazing and go out and chase the greatness.
Do you guys do the pledge?
We do.
We do too. My grandma is always like on me. People don't say the pledge anymore. I'm like, Grandma, we do.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know. Maybe there are people out there who don't. That's probably a hot button issue right there. Just waded into it.
You
just
brought
like,
it up. Nice
just
job.
Just like that. Any email there goes to Jenny Hillebrand. Well, Jenny, there's 11 of these. We only talked about four. What if someone wants to know, like, what are these other ones? What can they do?
Well, you know what? Go ahead and purchase the book, Power of Positive Team.
Does it have the J. Hill stamp of approval?
It does. It was okay. A great book. John Gordon is a great author. I know you've read some books by him.
Yep.
He's a great author and has a lot of those moments where you read his books and you're thinking, oh yeah, I kind of knew that. It's not like earth shattering. Oh my gosh, this is new. But it's enough of a twist on maybe my values or what I thought about teamwork that makes you think about what you can do to tweak and make things just a little bit better. It was a great book.
That's right. Well, as always, check out our website, www.iccpodcast.com. You can find all our past shows, minicast, our series are there as well as books that we say, yeah, check these out too. Maybe this book will be in there. If it's not, email me because I'm slacking, not being a good team member here. I'm not marikeying this thing.
Marikeying.
Marikey. Yeah, but like if I'm making it into a like a verb, something I do, I would be marikeying.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm marikeying this thing. All right, so that's enough on that. Maybe we'll talk about the Greek word the next time. Check out our social links on our website as well. Since we've said all that, we have to wrap it up. So as we go, ask yourself, what one thing could I do to make me a better version of myself? Then do it, because greatness isn't achieved by one event, but instead a series of small, consistent steps.
Go be awesome.